comes from the book of Romans, following on a very similar theme to last week, trying to understand what God is saying to us at this time in our history. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. May God just add his own blessing to these words. One of the great privileges that I think that our family has appreciated in serving God over the years is to be able to do so in different countries and different churches, both here in New Zealand and, of course, overseas in Asia. And that's true for all of us. And that ministry of serving that we have will continue in one form or another in the days that lie ahead, albeit in situations perhaps that will continue to be different. Now, for Jackie and I, as a couple of city types, we've learned a lot about the cycle of country living over these last few months. And we've been amazed at the variety of work that is undertaken and required, and the dedication to making that work that you do a success, not just for yourselves, but also for the wider good of this country in which we're living and other countries as well. New Zealand depends very much economically, largely on the agricultural community. You know that, and you know how important that you are. And at the same time, though, even as we travel from Waikaka over to here in the morning, no two farms are the same. Some are sheep farms, others are dairy farm or cattle farm, or others are grain farm. And when we travel to Gore, we often comment on the different breeds of cattle. Now, I think there's Jersey cows, there's Frisians, there's Belt of Galloways. What else?
Angus.
Who?
Angus.
Angus.
Hereford.
Crossbreeds. There's always one in every congregation. And it's the same with the sheep. I might need some help here. There's Blackface, there's Romney, there's Merinos. What else do we have in this area?
Texels.
Who?
Texels.
Texels, that's a carpet, isn't it?
South Down.
There has to be a North Down too, doesn't there? That's a South Down. Yet, you know, despite the colour of the cows or the different kinds of sheep that we have, they're still cows, eating green grass and producing white milk. And that's the way that God has made it. And now we may not be sheep or cows, although there may be some dispute about that, but we all have different characteristics and gifts and talents. And Paul touches on those in that passage. And we're all called to serve. All called to serve with one purpose in the kingdom work here that God has placed us. And we're all different. And as I suggested last week, all of our different sets of ears, we need to be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church at this time. What is the Spirit saying to me at this point in my life? Where is the Spirit leading us?
Paul said to the church at Rome, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is perfect, is good and pleasing and perfect will. Transform people. And if I want to put it another way, what Paul is saying here is, let's get on to God's agenda. Don't be so sucked in by the culture, the present culture, to the degree that God's direction for our lives is something that's squeezed out of our lives. Are we calling out to God for our lives to ask Him what the next step in our faith journey is? As a community of faith, we can be so content, I think, that we just cruise along, looking longingly in the mirror backwards, the mirror of the past. And if we keep looking in the mirror, of course, rather than ahead, what's going to happen? We're going to end up in a ditch. Friends, there's a limit to our human wisdom, important although that is. And I believe we all need sometimes just to take a wee bit of time out to think, to listen to what God is saying to us. Now, we can go to seminars or talks or courses, all of which I guess have some real value. I'm sure this happens a great deal in the farming community as well. We can go to courses for this and for that and the next thing. But it has to be applied, what we're learning, back down on the farm. It's no good just going through the motions of being titivated by this or that or the next thing. We actually have to be tuning into what God is saying to us. But if we're listening to God, I think what Paul is saying here in this passage in Romans is that we need a renewed transformation. He's not simply talking to individuals here, but to a group of Christians who needed to be reminded about the Christian faith and how it was and how it's to be lived out in practical ways. And in order to do that as a community of God's people, we must cease, he says, to be conformed to this world's way of thinking and to be spiritually transformed so that together we can discern and do the will of God. I think one of the dangers we face sometimes is making up our own minds what we want to do in life and say, God, will you bless this? Rather than saying, God, show us the way. Because we're not listening very well to what God is saying to us. So what do we do? How do we discern? I want to give you 4 points this morning. Many of my sermons are pointless, of course, but this one has 4 points to it. The first thing is this, which I've already hinted at, is that we all need some solitude and some silence. And that can be a very real challenge to us today, to find time, to set aside time, to give God our full and undivided attention. It's a challenge because we clutter up our lives with so much. And we get overcommitted to this and we get overcommitted to that group or calling, good although those things might well be. Be still. Be still and know. I was so busy at one stage of my life doing this and that because I thought if I don't, the place is going to collapse. And God had to allow me a period off work with burnout to get my attention, and believe it or not, the place didn't fall apart. Spiritual discernment, understanding what God requires of me, requires me to listen quietly to God's voice, and I need to give Him time just to do that in solitude without the clutter of all sorts of meetings, etc., that impinge unnecessarily on our time and energy. God's quite capable of doing His work without me. Therefore, as Paul says, I should think of myself more highly than I ought to think. The need to be a little more humble sometimes might be a help. And that happens when we enter into the quietness, away from others who make demands on our time. Maybe we become addicted to noise, to activity, to performance-orientated drivenness that characterizes so much of our lives. And that's true in the church as well. We need to stop to listen and to receive from God. To cease from striving sometimes. To listen to that still small voice. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. If you add up all those alternatives in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you'll see that there are 28 of them. A time to do this, a time to do that, a time not to do this, but a time to do that. So let's just ask ourselves this morning, how are we experiencing solitude and silence in these days? Do we ever stop? That's the first thing. The second thing, we need to be in God's world and work is to God's word is to transform us. Let me get that right. We need to be into God's word. Over the years I've learned, I think, that there's a difference between reading the Bible to gain information or even to prepare a sermon or to prove a point. Rather than using that word and reading that word for my soul's transformation. Waiting on God to tell us what we need to know. There's a difference between knowing the Bible stories and finding ourselves in those stories. Again, silence is the best preparation, I think, for keeping and hearing from God through the scriptures. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian who was killed by Hitler in World War II for standing against the Nazi regime, wrote these words. He wrote, silence before the word leads to right hearing, and thus also to right speaking of the word of God at the right time. Do you get the point? We need to be listening. We need to be understanding what that word is saying. And he goes on to say, much that is unnecessary remains unsaid. In other words, so much of what we think needs to be said can be left alone. And that's probably true for preachers too when they're preaching. That, you know, the sense is that when you're preparing a sermon, you end up with about three times the notes, three times as many notes as you ever preach on Sunday morning. Because you can leave aside so much if you're focused and you're thinking, and that's true for us as well. But he says, but the essential and helpful thing can be said in a few words. How's our regular reading of scriptures? Do we spend time in God's word every day? Is it helping us discern where we're going? The third thing is this, to get on base with God, we need to be praying. We've done a bit of that this morning. And I want to suggest that there are three kinds of prayer that help us to discern. Firstly, there's the prayer of quiet trust. Psalm 131 says, where we can in silence utter our dependence on God and trust in God when things are too great and too marvelous for me. When things overwhelm me, I can just be there and quiet. If things are so marvelous that I can't find words, then I need to be quiet and listen to what he's saying. It's the sort of trust a child shows who's content just to be with his mother or her mother after they've had breakfast, milk, just lying, quiet, content. Just trusting. And as we learn to pray with quiet minds, just trusting in the face of our own personal questions and complexities, we will learn to move forward spiritually. The second type of prayer is what I would call a prayer of indifference. Indifference to anything but the will of God. And that was Mary's response when the angel came to her and told her that she would give birth to the Messiah. And what was her response? Here am I, Lord, a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm not going to fight you on this, Lord. I want to put everything else aside. I just want to be doing your will when I'm praying. And then thirdly here, a prayer for wisdom. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. You see, God's wisdom, believe it or not, is better than ours. And too often we ask for wisdom after God's already acted. Or when we have done something, we thought we could plan out ourselves without any reference to God. Lord, show us how to do something or other. Show us what our family life is like. Show us what our church life is like. Those three things. Prayer of quiet trust. A prayer of indifference to anything but the will of God. And a prayer for wisdom. Now the fourth major point. And I think it's the last. Yes, it's the last. If we're going to discern God's will for our lives and for this parish, we might need some self-examination. Let me say that again. If we're going to discern God's will for our own lives and for the life of the parish, we may need some self-examination. No one knew better than Paul the importance of a self-examined life. We might well be very successful in our secular life. But unless that lines up with what's going on in our lives spiritually within us, we're not going to make much progress personally and collectively as a church. The psalm that I used for our call to worship last week is just so relevant. Psalm 139, search me and know me. Do we have the intestinal fortitude to say to God, search me and know me? Try me, see if there's anything within me that's hindering my walk with God. Is there anything within me that's hindering our walk as a church? I used to be intimidated by people with degrees higher than my academic status. But I have learned over the years that a piece of paper doesn't necessarily help in the process of discerning God's will. We're on a journey of grace together. And Romans 12 here talks about transformed people who are on that journey together. And it goes on to describe, well, we don't have time for it this morning, how such transformed people fit into the plan that God has for his church. All with different gifts. And none are more important than others. And God often uses the simple gifts. The more simple gifts to be the ones that actually drive the church to be used in the body of Christ. May we learn to walk humbly before God and each other. May we learn to read the scriptures for transformation and to pray, clearing the decks perhaps of anything that has been a hindrance in the past. And looking in confidence to the future. May we just examine ourselves and have ears open to whatever the Spirit might be saying to us today. Let us lay aside, as Paul says, any hindrance that stops us being the body of Christ in this place. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which you speak into our lives. We thank you for that hope that we have in the gospel, that we might be a transformed people, laying aside those things that are just conforming to the world, to the pattern of this world. May our lives be transformed by the renewal of your Spirit within us, that we may be able to test and approve, as Paul says, what God's will is is the good and pleasing and perfect will. We thank you for the spirit of discernment, Lord, and we do pray that you'll give us that spirit as we pray, as we read the scriptures, as we look at ourselves. We ask your blessing and your leading in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn this morning is Jesus, All for Jesus.